Welcome to the Roto-World Hockey Podcast. I'm Joey Alfieri, and joining me like he does for every show is the senior writer and editor of Roto-World Hockey, Michael Feinwax. Michael, the last one of our 31-31 preview is the Winnipeg Jets. How's it going?
Everything's good. Happy October 1st.
Happy October 1st. The season just a few days away, so let's get right into the Winnipeg Jets. All right, the Winnipeg Jets are an intriguing team because I think we would agree goaltending is still a question mark, but you look at what they've got up front, you look what they've got on the blue line, and in my mind, I mean, this should be a playoff team every year, and once they do finally get there, I think they're going to be good for a really long time.
Yeah, you know, as you said, it starts in that there's so much talent everywhere else. You know, they signed Steve Mason hoping he's the guy, and that remains to be seen. But, yeah, there is a lot of there's a huge amount of talent up front and on the blue line.
So, I mean, I know there's a lot of guys fantasy-wise that we want to get to here, but let me start with the guy who kind of exploded this year or last year. Mark Scheifele, he was coming off 29 goals, 61 points, which is a very nice season, especially for a guy who started the year as a 22-year-old that year. Now he's 24, and last year he had 32 goals, 82 points in 79 games. He really showed that he's, you know, one of the best players or point producers in the NHL.
Yeah, I remember when he was drafted, everyone thought that Winnipeg really reached when he was taken 7th overall. But, you know, they obviously knew something. Because he's been outstanding and one of the best players, if not the best player, out of that draft year. You know, because of him, Dougie Hamilton should have gone 8th. He went 9th to Boston. He just fell that one extra spot. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about that. But, you know, he's a terrific hockey player. I see him actually boosting his stats a bit this year, getting close to 35 goals and 90 points.
Wow.
That's how good a hockey player, and that's how good the talent is around him.
So that's like a top five forward, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, Scheifele is really just, you know, he was always, you know, considered a very good player, but just, you know, the last, basically his first 4 years, four full seasons, he went from 34 points to 49 points to 61 points to 82 points, and you have him at 90 plus. So that is a very, very nice season. If you're Mark Scheifele, that's something that the Jets are going to be thrilled with. And, you know, they've got a lot of guys that they need to take care of, but Scheifele isn't one of them. He signs a long-term deal at $6.125 million, Michael, and if he's producing 90 points at 24 years old, I mean, this is that contract's going to be a steal for them.
Well, yeah, they hope it is, and I'm sure Scheifele hopes it's a steal for them, too. You know, not that he doesn't want to obviously get hurt, but you know, that's why you sign long term. It's for your family. It's for yourself and your family, and you don't have to worry the rest of your life. I mean, you take some of the risk out of there. You know, he could have been a free agent, you know, in a couple more years, but you know, that's what you do, and that's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Roto World Hockey Podcast. I'm Joey Alfieri. You can find me on Twitter at Joey Alfieri. He's Michael Feinwax. You can find him on Twitter at MFeinwaxHockey, and the Roto-World Hockey page is at Roto-World_HK. Michael, before we break down the Jets a little bit more, let's talk about this Roto-World draft guide. With the season so close, I know there's still a bunch of fantasy leagues that, you know, that have their draft later on, closer to the start of the season. What do people get if they spend the $19.99 here for the Roto-World draft guide? What exactly would they be getting?
You get 625 plus player profiles, you know, and on each of these players you get, if they have them, their last 3 years of stats, their projections for this year. We do projections on over 700 players, so some of these guys we're not even writing about, we're still projecting what they're going to do. You know, you get all the tiering. So, you know, for centers, for instance, McDavid and Crosby are in tier one. You know, you have to see who's in tier two and all the way down to tier eight. And, you know, you should be drafting accordingly. You know, we also tier the defensemen, the left wingers, the right wingers, and the goalies. We also tier enforcers. You know, we got our outliers. There's a bunch of articles. We got team reports on obviously every team. You know, we got a great article on the top five prospects on every team by Peter Harling of Dauber Hockey. It's a fabulous article. We got your great article on the top 50 fantasy goalies. It's just a great, great buy. There's so much more in there. There's the top 150 keepers list. There's the top 150 list for drafting. You know, so much information, schedule breakdowns. You know, it's well worth it. It's very little money to spend on trying to win your draft.
Absolutely. And just getting back to the Winnipeg Jets, Michael, we talked about Mark Scheifele a little bit earlier. In your mind, does he lead them in points this year? I'm assuming if you have him at 90, that's tops on the team.
He's the leader.
Okay. Patrick Laine, any other year, he probably wins Rookie of the Year. Imagine he scores 36 goals, 64 points in 73 games, does not win the Calder Trophy. That went to Austin Matthews. But that does not take away from his season. He's actually almost a year younger than Matthews because he's still 19. Matthews already turned 20. But look, Laine, earlier this preseason, I think it happened last week, he picked up, he had like a 5-point ninth. So, I mean, he's firing on all cylinders already. How good can Laine be as a 19-year-old for most of the year? How good can he be this season?
Laine's a terrific hockey player. You know, Winnipeg did great. You know, they didn't get Matthews, but they certainly got the next best thing. And it's not like, you know, you're talking about great, great hockey players. And again, I think Laine's got a chance to be a generational player. I think there's a lot of similarities with Timo Sulani. You know, I mean, he'll never score as much as Sulani because it was a different hockey game back then. You know, you could score 76 goals as a rookie. You know, like, nobody even comes close to that. Like, what led last year? Crosby's 44. Like, you know, it's just not the same game. But he's got that type of skill. I've got him almost hitting 40. I got him at 39 goals and 70 to 75 points this year. And that's not too shabby for a 19-year-old.
Absolutely not. Nothing to scoff at. And, you know, I think we would agree that, you know, there's definitely 50-goal potential there. If he's hitting 36 at 18, I'm scared to think about what 21, 22, 23 years old is going to look like.
Oh, yeah. You know, they'll play him tight, you know, other teams. But, like, he's got some shot there.
So is he second on the Jets in points in your mind?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, let's keep going here with these projections because they have a ton of offensive players. They've got some before we get to the veterans, another younger guy, a guy who's 21 now, Nikolaj Ehlers. He's another one who kind of burst onto the scene last year. He had the equivalent to Scheifele's third year where, you know, he went from, you know, having in the 30s in points in 2015-16. To the 2016-17 last year, he had 25 goals and 64 points in 82 games. He did that as a 20-year-old predominantly. So, I mean, again, now he's entering his age 21 season, and you've got to think this is his third year in the NHL. You've got to think that things are trending up. They're not going to be trending down. He's still so young.
Yeah, he's sublimely talented offensively. I've got him with a bit of a jump in points, but not a great jump. But, I mean, you know, when you get the 65 points when you're, you know, second-year pro, you know, you can't expect huge jumps every year. So I've got him at 27 goals and between 65 and 70 points, and there's nothing wrong with that. He you know, there's so much talent on this team. You know, if they ever get a goaltender, they're going to be laughing. Like, I'm really surprised in the offseason they didn't spend the money trying to trade for Marc-Andre Fleury or for Bishop. Or Ben Bishop or, you know, like, you know, I think they settled for Steve Mason. And, you know, I hope Mason proves me wrong. But I think they could have done so much better if they would have given up. I mean, Ben Bishop went to Dallas for a third-round pick. You telling me Winnipeg couldn't give up a third-round pick with all their club or a second-round pick to ensure the deal?
Maybe they just didn't like him.
Well, I mean, that's always the possibility. But, you know,
better than what they have.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that you like Steve Mason over Ben Bishop.
Yeah, I don't even think that it's Steve Mason. I still think it's Hellebuyck. I think that's what they're banking on. We'll get into the goalies a little bit later, Michael. Just want to finish up with the forwards. So I think we would agree. So far we've gone through Scheifele, Laine, and Ehlers, and all three very much have value in standard leagues, correct?
Oh, for sure. There's a couple more still.
Yes, so Blake Wheeler and Brian Little just got a new deal this offseason. Those guys are the veterans, and they're 28 and 30, so it's not like they're so old. But those are two guys again. Wheeler, terrific season, 74 points last year, 26 goals in 82 games. Brian Little, 21 goals and 47 points, but he did it in just 59 games. Those two, what kind of value do they bring in standard leagues?
Lots. I've got Wheeler. I got Wheeler regressing a bit. I got him at 23 goals and between 65 and 70 points. And I've got Little at 27 goals and 60 points this year. So, again, two very valuable guys in your fantasy pools. And, you know, not too shabby if you get either one or both of them.
Is there any other forward here? Before we move to the defense, any other forward you want to highlight?
The one, I guess, is Matthew Perreault. He's got a chance to, you know, I think he's going to get above 50 points. He'll get almost 20 goals. I think he'll get 50 to 55 points, and he'll do quite well on the power play. Nothing wrong with that. Like I said, once you pass 50 points, you really have some fantasy value. So I consider him in that range. You know, that's a lot of guys, six guys that I've named. That's two very, very good top six lines, or top two lines. And, you know, it's just, there's a wealth of talent there.
Yeah, absolutely. One guy, a long shot. I'll give you a long shot that I'm just keeping my eye on, a guy that I really liked in the junior ranks. Nick Petan, he's now 22 years old. Last year he played 54 games in the NHL, had just one goal, 13 points. As a centerman, but he was a second-round pick of the Jets in 2013. Very skilled point producer in junior hockey. Played for Team Canada at the World Juniors a couple of years ago. He had 5 points in 9 AHL games last year. I wonder, you know, look, again, there's only one puck to go around here on the ice, but I think that he's going to turn into a nice, you know, a nice hockey player, a good hockey player for the Jets. I mean, I don't know if there's standard fantasy value there. I don't think there is this year, but I think long-term that's somebody to keep an eye on. So that's just my forward that I'm keeping an eye on. Nick Petan, an interesting name. Moving to the blue line, Michael, if we can, again, look, I'm not going to say they're as talented on the blue line as they are up front, because there's a lot of talent up front, but that blue line is far from terrible. They got Byfuglien. You know, Enstrom is a pending unrestricted free agent. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Tyler Myers is coming off an injury, but still, he's very intriguing. They signed Kulikov. They have Jacob Trouba. They have Josh Morrissey there. That's a good blue line.
It is. You know, in my opinion, you could throw Enstrom out, because I don't think he has any fantasy relevance anymore. But, you know, Byfuglien has huge fantasy value. He scores, and he picks up a ton of penalty minutes. I think one guy to keep an eye on is Jacob Trouba, who last year sat out as a restricted free agent and was, they'll say he was forced to sign, because Winnipeg wasn't going to do anything with him. They were just going to let him sit. So he signed the contract, missed all the training camp and some regular season games, and didn't have a great year, but I think playing a full training camp and a full season this year, he has a nice bounce back year. Wouldn't surprise me if he was, I've got him between 40 and 45 points. It wouldn't surprise me if he was closer to 50 points either. You know, Byfuglien, I got it at over 50 points, including 15 goals. Tyler Myers also was a guy who was injured. I think he only played 11 games last year or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, he had it was a hernia or a groin, I forget, or hamstring, I forget what it was exactly. But yeah, he was limited to a handful of games.
Yeah, he actually, I'm just looking at now, he played 11 games, 2 goals, 5 assists. But it went to, he's got 10-plus goal and 35, 40-point potential. You know, and Josh Morrissey will chip in with some points. You know, there's a lot there. So when I say, you know, that I don't think Tobias Enstrom, or Toby as he's now known, you know, I think he's just a run-of-the-mill defenseman anymore. He's not going to get much power play time, because there's a lot of guys who will pass right by him.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't, you know, I think that that's even a guy that they might, you know, like I said, final year of his contract, so that's a guy that they might even be able to move, you know, between now and the end of the deadline. So, you know, unless he's playing really well and they want to hold on to him and they're in the playoff hunt. But, yeah, so look, okay, let's move. We talked about it. We alluded to it before. It's a very cloudy, you know, it's not a clear-cut goaltending situation here. So Hellebuck is, you know, was the guy who played some games last year. He was the guy. Michael Hutchinson was his backup for a good chunk of the year, and they sent Andre Pavlik to the minors. Then when they were struggling, Pavlik was recalled. But Pavlik now was a free agent. He signed with He signed with the Rangers to be Lundqvist's backup. Michael Hutchinson has actually already been sent to the minors, which is pretty shocking when you consider how good he was just a couple of years ago. And now it's, you know, Steve Mason, they signed in free agency. They gave him $4.1 million a year over the next 2 years. And Connor Hellebuck, is he signed a one-year deal, I believe. So he's going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the year. I still, if I was them, I'm still going Hellebuck. But I think it would be, you know, it's a split between Mason and Hellebuck. But I just think Mason is going to serve as the veteran who can step in if times get rough. But I wouldn't throw in the towel on Hellebuck just yet.
No, I wouldn't either. But I think Mason will receive the majority of the starts. I think this could be another learning year for Hellebuck, because he didn't play well last year when given the opportunity. And he's still a young goaltender. You know, I drafted him a couple of years ago and figured he'd be like gold, because I'm not a big Pavlik fan and I wasn't a Hutchinson fan, and I just thought he was the guy there. But, you know, to be an NHL goalie, sometimes you struggle, or a lot of times you struggle. And I think learning under Mason 1 year isn't going to kill him, and it'll be the best thing for him. And, you know, I still see him getting into 30-plus games, but I see Mason getting the majority of the starts there.
So, and if we're looking in terms of fantasy value, so what are we looking at for Mason? If this is such a talented team, is there some intrigue there?
Yeah, he's a good second goalie in deeper leagues. Like, you know, I'd rate him in the 15 to 20 range, maybe even the 15 to 22, 25 range. You know, he's got a chance to be as good as a 15, but he's also, you know, if he struggles, I mean, he might be worse than 25, and that's when Hellebuck will get his shot. I think Hellebuck is an excellent, excellent backup goaltender. So if you take Mason, I handcuff him with Hellebuck, and if you love Hellebuck, I would handcuff him with Mason, you know, and just stick one of them on your bench, because they're going to get wins this year. I think they're a bubble team, but I think they're a 7th-8th team in the West this year, and I think that's I think they make the playoffs, and I think they'll cause a little bit of trouble once they make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're such a talented team, and like you said, I guess they really, you know, they weren't high on Fleury. They didn't want to pay him that money. And maybe Pittsburgh didn't even want to necessarily send him anywhere else, because the Penguins knew that if they trade him somewhere else, that means that Vegas is going to choose somebody else. And so, you know, maybe an Olli Mata goes, you know, maybe somebody else gets picked up. So there wasn't a ton of incentive for the Penguins to trade him anywhere else, you know, but Pittsburgh. But, you know, at the same time, I think it was something, you know, Scott Darling moved, Ben Bishop moved. You know, there's a bunch of goalies that moved. And, you know, they settled on Steve Mason, and Mason had a good, you know, he's had a good couple of years in the NHL, but I think we know what he is at this point. He's just a wildly inconsistent guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't understand, you know, with all that talent, why you don't go after the best goalie possible. I mean, the year before, the Leafs didn't even have a good team. A lot of teams thought they would be a bottom dweller as well, and yet they went after Frederik Andersen, gave up what they had to, and, you know, he was part of the reason they got into the playoffs, because, you know, once he got over his injury woes in October, he was very, very good.
Anything else you want to add on the Jets here before we wrap up, Michael?
No, I like the Jets, and I like their future even more. They're just a very, very good hockey team. They got a lot of offensive talent. They got a strong blue line. You know, there was guys we didn't even talk about, like Kyle Connor, who's going to be a stud in a couple years. You know, there's just so much there. You know, they've done very, very well drafting. I don't like all their offseason moves, like I said, with Steve, like as in Steve Mason. But they got a strong defense. They got a strong offense. And they're going to be one of the most interesting teams to watch this year.
Absolutely. This has been not just the Winnipeg Jets preview, but this is the conclusion of our 31 in 31 preview. If you've missed any of the other shows, you can go to the rotoworld.com website. You can click on the NHL tab, look for the podcast section, and all 31 teams will be up there and are up there right now. If you've missed any, if you know you missed your favorite team, or if there's, you know, a couple of fantasy players you're deciding between and you want to listen to the previews of those teams, they're all available on that rotoworld.com site. Michael, this 31 and 31 has been a blast, and I mean, it absolutely flew by.
It did. I can't believe, you know, we're into the hockey season now, that it's just a few days away.
Absolutely.
You know, we're going to keep doing our weekly podcast like we did last year. So don't forget to tune in. And we're just going to have a blast this season. I hope you guys do too.
Absolutely. Yeah, Michael hit the nail right on the head there. Don't forget, we will be doing a weekly podcast, not daily, but weekly, every week throughout the NHL season. And if you have any questions for us, you can find us on Twitter at RotoWorld_HK. You can send questions there. You can send questions to at MFineWaxHockey. Or you can send questions to at Joey Alfieri, and we'll be happy to read them here on the air, and we'll answer those questions for you. So feel free to send those to us anytime. And as Michael mentioned, we will be on once a week with the Roto World Hockey Podcast. This has been the Winnipeg Jets preview that is now in the books. And don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast to make sure you never miss another episode again. You can do that on iTunes, and you can do that via Stitcher as well. So make sure you do that. Basically, those podcasts will be on your mobile device or wherever you listen to us. They'll be downloaded there automatically right away. So be sure to do that. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us for all 31 of these preview editions. We had fun doing them. And have a great hockey season. Michael, have a great hockey season. I know you and I will be talking often here on the Roto World Hockey Podcast. But I'm looking forward to this thing starting for real. I've had my fill of preseason games. I'm glad they're in the books. And I'm just ready for the regular season. Have a great hockey season, everybody. You too, Michael. Have a great hockey season.
You too, and everybody, best of luck in their pools.
This has been the Winnipeg Jets preview. Have a good one, everybody. We will chat next week when we resume the Roto World Hockey Podcast.